Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Recording live from somewhere.
Lord of mercy, all night Sunday Central. Follow me now, listen. Say hi, Dick, yes, you're rolling hip hop. Say J-Roll, yes, you're rolling hip hop.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Happy Easter weekend. I'm Allie Trost. Blake Schneider's running the boards on this fine Saturday morning in Kansas City or the surrounding areas, wherever you're listening from. Thanks for tuning in. We've got a jam-packed show for you today. So let me just lay out the menu. Here's what you've got to look forward to on Sports Saturday for the next 2 hours. We've got Jada Williams coming up later this hour. A absolute stud at Blue Springs High School, just announced her commitment to UCLA. She was drawing interest from schools all over the country, finally made her decision going to UCLA. She'll talk more about that decision and a lot more coming up later on this hour. Hour number two, we talk with a former 810 ESPYs winner, Joe Rhea, on the release of his new book, overcame a lot of adversity in his life. A great story for anyone who has faced some adversity in their life, who is looking for a story with a nice sports angle to maybe draw some parallels between how to overcome different challenges and come out on the other side with better perspective. So that's coming up. We talk with him about the release of his book, and then our Get to Know KC Woso series will close out the show. I talked with Lo Labonta, who was fantastic. I usually try to go like 20 minutes when I talk with these women, and we went, I'm not joking, for like, I had to cut it down. We went like 45 minutes. So I cut it down. It's like a 38-ish minute interview, but so much great stuff. She has some fantastic stories, by the way. For those who don't know, she is engaged to Roger Espinoza, who is on Sporting Kansas City, of course, and a really great story from early on in her career back when she was with FC Casey, and her and Roger had started dating. They both play in the midfield. Vladko Andonovsky's involved in this one. So a lot of great stuff from Lo coming up later on in the show. And just want to give a special shout out to our new sponsor of the Get to Know KC Woso series, Margaritas. So shout out to Margaritas for coming on board. We're really excited to have them. This team, from what I hear, loves Mexican food. So I think it was a seamless fit, a perfect partnership. And for those who do not know, Margaritas is a family-owned and operated Mexican restaurant since 1985 when they opened on Southwest Boulevard. They've got locations all over town. I'm sure you've been to one of them, Gladstone, Liberty, Lenexa, South KC, and of course, the original Southwest Boulevard. You can find a location close to you at margaritasamigos.com. You can shop their delicious salsa in store. And if you're like me, looking forward to hitting them up for an actual margarita from Margaritas. So that's what I will be looking to find. Maybe not this early in the morning, but sometime next week. Maybe a little happy hour action. Go get a margarita from Margaritas. So that is the lineup for the show today. It has been a crazy week in sports, as it always is, at the national level, the local level. So we'll get into some of that here. Blake, how's it going? Friend.
Oh, I'm just peachy keen this morning, Allie. How are we doing?
Doing well. I am coming to you all live from St. Louis for Easter weekend, and I'm pretty sure, Blake, this time last year, now that we've reached like the, we never like said anything about it or did anything about it, but I think we've officially surpassed a year of me doing Sports Saturday. I think this was when our party potato discussion came up. We were talking maybe some like Easter spread, some foods that you usually go for. So I'll be looking for those, as I do every Easter. I don't know if you've got any plans.
So actually I do have plans, a little switch up. My parents are out of town this year, so I will be celebrating it with my girlfriend and her parents, so I don't know what's going to be on their menu, so it'll be interesting to see if there's any new menu items or any kind of different feast that they like to do.
Were you charged with having to bring anything?
I was not.
Okay.
I don't know.
No pressure.
Yeah, there's no pressure on me. I wasn't charged. So maybe, who knows? Maybe there's not going to be food, and maybe my hopes are just definitely going to be shattered. I hope
not.
Got
to dodge out and go swing through a McDonald's.
Yeah, either McDonald's, bring in some Snickers, maybe. I don't know. Something to snack on, I guess.
Candy is like, I never really eat that much candy throughout
Same.
The year because I'm an adult now. So I just, maybe for my teeth. For the sake of my teeth and not wanting to subject myself to a cavity at this point, because it's just more of an inconvenience now than it ever was when you're like 10. So don't eat as much candy. Did come home though to a massive bowl of Jelly Bellies. Like there must have been 8 bags of those suckers poured in to the. And so I usually go for the greens and the yellows. That's my personal, my favorite. But I know that. Everyone's got their own take. The worst, though, is when you're trying to get a strawberry and you get a cinnamon. No doubt.
Ah, yeah. Ruins my day every time. Every single time, I swear.
Now I'm just going to get a...
Weirdly enough, I'm not a big candy fan at all. And so I'm not a big jelly bean fan either. I dabble in a little chocolate here and there. I'm not a big hard candy guy at all. I don't really like hard candies like Jolly Ranchers. People look at me crazy. I don't really like Jolly Ranchers. They never fascinated me as a kid. Like I said, Snickers, Kit Kats, maybe Three Musketeers. That's about it. I'm a pretty simple man.
Can't go wrong with any of those. I mean, chocolate candy's good.
Oh, I will say I do have one that is kind of controversial though, and that is love Almond Joys.
So do I.
I love Almond Joys. People are like, oh, I hate coconut. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, well, this isn't for you then.
Those are no Almond Joys are delicious.
I love Almond Joys.
Like Easter candy does get. Jed Marshall is texting me right now, and he goes, "Whoa, shots taken at candy eaters. Hurtful." This
grow
is nothing
up,
against
Jed.
Candy eaters. Grow, hey Jed, grow up. No, candy is very good, but it's like I've had to make a conscious effort at this point in my life when I go into a grocery store, when I go to a convenience store, it's like, no, you do not need sour gummy worms. I love sour gummy worms, but I don't need to eat them. I'm going to feel like crap, and I get my sugar intake from like a glass of wine. That's what my preference is now. That's how it balances it out.
I don't need 10 feet of Bubblicious rolled up into a spiral. I mean, I wish I could, but I don't. I don't need that. That's a fast way to track the diabetes over there. Yes, I said it like
okay,
that.
Okay, quick Easter story before we get into some actual sports. But I guess you could argue that Easter egg hunting, depending on what your family was like, was its own competitive sport.
100%.
It was a sport in our household, for sure.
If you're not first,
four kids. Exactly. You got to find the eggs with the quarters in them. We had eggs with quarters in them. That was where you were like, you know, you had a chance to make a whole $2.50. So no messing around.
Hey, that's a fun weekend right there. $2.50. Me and my friends are going to get some candy, probably. That's all I can get.
I was just like storing it away so that I could go hit up any vending machine I could find at a number of different sporting events we were running around to. But we were actually laughing about this last night with my parents. There was one Easter. This was right after my youngest brother was born. So he was born the week like before Easter weekend. So obviously parents had a lot of other things to do besides plan out an Easter egg hunt. And so my dad like goes to, you know, Walgreens. It's like about to close. He just grabs a bag of jelly beans and a bag of Hershey Kisses. And so they, you know, he scrambles, puts his whole thing together. And like the next day we're doing the Easter egg hunt. And it was like, what'd you get? Jelly beans and a Hershey Kiss. What'd you get? Jelly beans and a like, there was no diversification of the eggs. They all had the exact same contents. And so we like, would just march around the house saying like jelly beans and a Hershey Kiss, jelly beans and a Hershey Kiss. And we like, thought it was the funniest thing, but we were just laughing now, thinking back. But I love both of those candies, so there's no complaining here on my end. But we always got very competitive in the Easter egg hunt, and now, Who knows? Maybe I'll come downstairs at some point this morning to a surprise at my household here in St. Louis. Maybe they've got an adult Easter egg hunt set up.
Well, and I don't know why they don't do that more often, because you could make that very, not only competitive, but very intriguing as far as, you know, make this like a parkour event. You got to get up in weird areas to go get some eggs. It's hidden under a car tire or maybe up on like the top of the ceiling fan or something. Make this interesting.
Parkour Easter egg hunt. I kind of like that. I think you're onto something there, Blake.
I think Jesus would approve.
That's something that I would.
I mean, if he already approved, he's like, Easter, of course. What reminds everybody of my resurrection? Bunnies and eggs that we hide. Do bunnies lay eggs? No. But you know what else Jesus would love? Bunnies, eggs, and parkour.
You know what? I think you're right. And for that reason, I'm going to set one up this weekend, and maybe not this weekend. I feel like I need like a year of planning. So next Easter, I'm writing this down. We're going to live stream it. It's going to be a huge event. I need to get in shape. I need to practice parkour. I need to do a lot of things before I can actually attempt.
I got to practice my egg snatching motion.
Action.
It's mine. I got it. It's mine.
Mine.
Yeah.
I wish I had a better segue. I had one earlier when you were talking about like the Bubblicious, because I was like, oh, Bubblicious ballpark, chewing some bubble gum out at, I don't know. I don't have a better one, but opening day was this week.
There you go. That's how you do it.
And that's how you do it. This is that's the best we could do with the segue. But let's get into opening day. Royals scored 2 touchdowns. They went 14-10. Michael Taylor, very impressive in his debut. Just what were your overall thoughts? I've already got a couple games circled that I'm trying to get out to this season, and it was just great to see fans back in the ballpark, and weather was beautiful. It was just like, this is what was missing last year. Did not have the same allure 2020 opening day compared to 2021.
Yeah, this opening day, I had the most anticipation that I've had for an opening day in actually quite a while. Last year, obviously, just wasn't the same. I think the buzz around opening day today, or on Thursday, was fantastic. I mean, Twitter was blowing up. Everybody was on Twitter talking about this game, talking about the longest opening first inning or half an inning I've ever seen. About 49 minutes, I think, was the opening first inning. Obviously, Brad Keller getting the start for the Royals, and unfortunately not really going his way. Did give up about 5 runs in the first inning, but the Royals were able to hang on and win by a total of 14-10. I was very impressed. You know, spring training for the Royals is one of those things that, you know, usually we're pretty good, but then it never really translates over to the regular season. This year we were pretty much number one in almost every hitting and batting category, and it translated over opening day. I mean, when you can put up 5 runs in an inning, 4 runs in an inning, another 5 runs, I mean, like, you're scoring left and right, and it seems like everybody was able to get a hit. I mean, everybody was putting the bat on ball. Everybody had good looks when they were up at the plate. So that was extremely satisfying to see that it didn't look like we had a big weak spot in the lineup for 2 to 3 hitters or 4 hitters. Looked like everybody can hit. And that's one of the biggest things that we just haven't been able to put together over the years is, I mean, even really since back in 2014, 2015, when it seems like somebody was always going to get a hit, but I almost felt a little bit more comfortable with this lineup on Thursday. So that was extremely, a little confidence building for us to say, hey, you know, I think this could be a pretty decent season as far as being able to get some points on the board.
Well, and especially after falling into a bit of a hole there early, and no Mondesi, like, you kind of almost forgot, like, oh my gosh, like, Adalberto Mondesi is not even available for the next, you know, couple of weeks. I think the oblique strain, you know, the reporting was saying about 10, maybe 14 days is about the range there. But with his absence, I think there were plenty of people to step up. So it was,
yeah, I mean, you mentioned
a fun opening day.
You mentioned Michael A. Taylor. He went 3 for 3. He had 3 RBIs. He had a home run and a single And he also had two putouts from the outfield and center field, knocking two guys dead to rights at the plate at home. So that was, I mean, talk about, and this is something that Mike Matheny said, that he'd been the hardest worker all of camp. This was before the game. And then all of a sudden he comes out and puts on a show. Mm-hmm. So that was very sad. You know, that was great to see Soler hitting a home run, everybody getting the bats on the ball. So, I mean, it was probably one of the best opening days that I can remember. And really, I was at work until about, game started at about 3:10, 3:15. And let's just say the rest of my work day after that was not very productive. My work day consisted of me grabbing a beer and sitting in front of the couch and opening some windows and really just enjoying the day.
I think you speak for most of Kansas City when you say that, but that is for the people who could watch the game. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because I know this is going to be an issue that affects not just Royals fans, but Sporting Kansas City fans as well, with Bally Sports Kansas City and the Sinclair streaming issues. They, you know, do not have deals with YouTube TV and Hulu. So really, unless you have like AT&T TV, which I've actually used that because my parents have an AT&T TV. So I use their login anytime I need to, you know, access mainly and really just Fox Sports, or not Fox Sports, Bally Sports now, Kansas City, or unless you have cable. So they're kind of missing this huge demographic. And I know from the Sporting Kansas City side, where their fan base is much younger, just as collectively, I see a lot of on Twitter, and I did a lot last season, especially from Sporting fans, like, hey, I can't watch the game. And MLB's got a lot better streaming than MLS does. But I mean, where do you think they go from here with this? Because this is a really pivotal, I mean, any season where you are losing interest or are missing out on eyeballs on games is not good. But I feel like right now is a really pivotal time with just how much is shifting as far as technology and streaming is concerned.
Well, I think they need to catch up with the times, because, I mean, baseball, and they've been talking about this for the past couple of years in baseball, that they feel like they're losing their audience. They feel like they're not getting as many young people involved in baseball anymore. And that's something that you hear at the lower levels as well. They feel like not as many guys are wanting to play baseball, wanting to be fans of baseball, watching baseball. You know, you're getting enough players, but just being able to sit down and have guys that are going to watch, you know, majority of the games throughout the year, especially with the fact that, like you said, more younger people are just using streaming services. There's no need to pay for cable when you can get Netflix. There's no need for me to go out and get AT&T UVerse, excuse me, when I can get stuff on Hulu all day. Or Amazon Prime or something. So they really, I mean, MLB really needs to figure out a way to stream a lot more of these games through different mediums. And I don't know how they're going to go about doing that with contracts and everything. But, you know, you got your YouTube TVs, your Hulus, your Amazon Primes. I mean, there's multiple different platforms that you guys can make some deals with, and who I'm sure would love to make deals with you, because that just means more people are streaming Netflix. You know what I mean? To watch your everyday, you know, Hulu has live sports. Well, apparently not baseball. I don't know how long it's going to take them to flip that switch and say, hey, to get a younger crowd, we're going to have to start, you know, lose this blackout nonsense and start being able to stream on multiple platforms. But I think they need to do it pretty quickly. And I think you're going to see a big change here. If not at the end of this year, it better be done before the beginning of next year.
Yeah, the whole thing, I mean, at some point in the last like year and a half, all of the different streaming services that you have to have in order to just watch the sports that you want to consume, it's insane. Like, I mean, for me, watching NWSL, they have a deal with CBS, and so they've got their Paramount Plus streaming service. That's $6 a month or whatever. Tom watches a lot of, you know, Premier League. He's a big Arsenal fan, so he's got the Peacock TV. You know, it's like at some point you're like, how much am I spending on just streaming services alone? And it's like you compare that then to I still do believe that like the convenience of it and all of the different pros outweigh the cons in as far as how it compares to like standard cable. So I'm still like, we're going to stick with streaming no matter what, but it's like, at some point there has to be a consolidation of all of these different streaming services into one thing where people don't have, like, what channel is that on? What streaming platform is that on? And, like, having to go back and forth just to watch. Like, I don't have this insane number of teams or leagues that I either am watching for work or watching for enjoyment. You know, it's like, it's not like I'm trying to go watch some weird sport, like extreme cornhole. I'm watching the standard professional sports here.
I'm not watching lawnmower racing. Like, I don't need ESPN 8, the Ocho. I just need
ESPN. I'm not watching extreme candy eating. Like.
Yeah. I'm not watching the,
it's like, I need my local teams and my local teams. And I need my, you know, for me, like, you know, like I said, we watch some Premier League and we watch some NWSL. So I'm more okay with, like, okay, we're streaming for those. If I'm having to, like, illegally watch a Royals baseball game, I'm probably just going to, you know, watch the highlights or something. Yeah. I'm not going to try and go too much out of my way. If I'm not able to figure it out, I usually give myself a good 10-minute window. Luckily, I will be able to get most, I think, Royals games this season because of AT&T TV. But for some reason, if there's a conflict, because my parents live in St. Louis and we get through AT&T TV, there's St. Louis news. So if there's ever, you know, a conflict where the Cardinals bump the, you know, and, like, I can't find another way to watch it, then it's like, how much effort am I going to put in to getting that game on my TV? And I think that that's really what they're going to run into with people who do care and that are fans. I don't think this is a conversation about people who are kind of like, only care about 20 to 30%. I think this is something that concerns people who care maybe 75 to 80%, but if they're not able to conveniently do it, I think so much of, you know, our age group and our generation is what is convenient. And if it's not convenient and I've put enough time into it, I'm not going to go call up somebody and complain for 30 minutes on the phone because I can't get my game. I'm just going to move on to something else.
Well, and you touched on the fact that if I have to stream the game illegally, well, unfortunately, that's kind of what the situation that they're putting people in. Now, I'm not going to say I have a couple sites that I use, but I do, to stream certain things there every once in a while. But, you know, it's just that it's something that they have to figure out because they're going to cause the market. Like you said, you know, it's not for the person who's going to watch 25, you know, 30% of the time that or cares 30% much. It's about the person who you're trying to appease is that 80% fan. Who's that person that's going to watch 80% of the games, 70% of the games. Well, if you're going to not appease that person, well, then what are you really saying about what you care about, how much your fans are involved in watching the games, involved in watching your sport? If you're not going to appease the people that want to watch you the most, what are you? I mean, there's no hope for the people that want to watch the least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's a really sticky situation because it's like Sporting Kansas City and the Royals have, you know, their own personal agenda as far as fan engagement, all of those things, and making their games accessible. But when you have a contract with, you know, a Sinclair, your broadcast TV partner, you would hope that their best interest is in line with what your best interest is, but their best interest is the dollar signs and then everything else. And so, unfortunately, I think it's just a really sticky situation. And John Sherman and Jake Reed both commented on it, but didn't really get too much into it because it's like, you can't really, it's like, you know, that's your partner.
Yeah, you can't go out and bash your partner and what you guys signed up for. It's just not going to look
right.
Good.
And I just, it's a very, yeah, it's an unfortunate situation. And I'm really interested to see how it is resolved because it is going to affect fandom. And especially until they're able to allow more capacity of fans to games and all of those things. It's when the product is not accessible, whether that be in person or through streaming or online. I mean, for us in sporting, I guess it's great because we're partners. We'll have, you know, all the radio broadcasts. So if you are itching to listen to a sporting game and you can't watch it, well, tune into Sports Radio 810. We'll have you covered. So that's, I guess, that's one out that at least we can offer. So I know that's kind of hard though with, I mean, I personally, like with soccer games, I enjoy watching them. I think, but
yeah, I don't watch that many soccer games, so I definitely ain't listening to them, that's for sure. But that's just me. I am not the go-to aficionado for soccer. Obviously, that is you, and you do a fantastic job every week of covering and giving people updates, especially with your Get to Know KC Woso series. That has been phenomenal. I think a lot of people have really, really enjoyed getting to know some of the new players and just getting more of the insights of the team.
It's been really fun. I mean, I think I had the chance to go out and talk with the architecture firm that was responsible for helping transform Legends Field to accommodate both Monarchs baseball and KCNWSL soccer, because you have to put a soccer field inside of a baseball stadium. And a couple of interesting things, just because I think fans who are either looking to go out to a Monarchs game, looking to go out to an NWSL game, or maybe both, you should definitely look into doing both. It's going to be an awesome experience. They've like totally revamped this place, but to switch it from baseball to soccer and soccer to baseball will take it's a 24-hour turnaround. It takes that long to switch the field from one to the other. And in order to provide the most optimal viewing experience for the soccer team, which number one, they have a way to add additional seating to where there will be 10,000. That's going to be the seating number now for KCNW fans. They take in and out each time that they flip it about 500 seats that are pitch side. You are literally on the pitch getting to watch the game, like best seats in the house. You're like right up in front of the action. They remove the pitcher's mound each game in order, like each flip, you know, each time the stadium's flipped, they remove the pitcher's mound. And in doing so, this is like what's really unique, I think, about this transformation, because they could just keep it there and it would be a lot easier on them to not have to go and remove an entire pitcher's mound. But what it does is that it takes the viewers about 35 feet closer to all of the action. So it's going to be a really like just it, you're not going to feel like you're in this like makeshift environment that is not suitable for soccer. You're really going to feel like you are in a true soccer environment with like great seating, invisibility all around the stadium. The guy that we talked to, who was one of the head architects on the project, was saying like, this is going to be a really intimidating place to play. Like, I'm just so excited to get out there. They've got their first game coming up at the end of April, their first home game. So it's going to be a blast. And it was really cool. And that's, you know, the best I can verbally without visually giving anyone any sort of explanation for what they're doing here. But it's cool.
Well, I definitely think I'm going to have to be getting out to a couple soccer games this year. I definitely wanted to go to a Sporting Kansas City game. I've been to two, and both of them were so blisteringly hot that I don't really remember them. Won both of them. That's great, but I don't remember much of the game because I was just like worried about sweating and just like I actually turned into a physical puddle of water at the game, and I just remember like taking my shirt off when I got home and like wringing it out. I know that's disgusting, but it was bad, so I couldn't remember. But I want to I want to go back to another game, and we're going to definitely have to obviously go to probably now the most intimidating home field advantage and stadium in women's soccer right here in Kansas City.
I love it. And the Monarchs games will be fun. I'm looking to get out to a Monarchs game as well. So it'll be a fun summer between Royals and Sporting, KCNWSL, you've got the Monarchs. There's going to be plenty of like fun live sports to go out and watch right here in the KC Mo or KCK areas. So definitely looking forward to that. But Blake, before we go take a quick break here, just a couple of other news bits that came out this week. Bill Self signs a lifetime contract with Kansas. So he's locked in. There is a clause, though, in the contract that deals with the current NCAA infractions case, and it states that the Athletics will not terminate head coach Bill Self for cause due to any current infractions matter that involves conduct that occurred on or prior to the date of full execution of this agreement. So that I think was like the number one thing I was most interested in this case.
Basically what they're saying is no matter what happens, this is our guy.
That's
so even
what it sounds
if you're
like, I'm not
a bloody cheater, even if you're caught violating NCAA rules, we're sticking behind you 100%. I thought, I mean, that's exactly what I thought that they were doing when I heard that they signed this deal, is basically just setting him up for, I don't even know if it was really more giving him confidence or really giving the fan base confidence. That says, hey, you know, there might be some tough waters ahead, especially with, you know, what's been going on. But you're our guy, and I think that that's given KU fandom and the organization a giant kind of sigh of relief to know that, hey, we're still good. We've got our leader. You know, we've got our commander in chief in Bill Self, and no matter what happens, we're going to come through this on the other side. So, you know, kudos to KU. I'm a little shocked, but I guess that's just the way it goes. I think that this is going to be, I don't know, this is up in the air. I mean, this whole thing, the reason that they had, you know, the fact that they haven't come down on a ruling yet, I'm not really sure if they're still investigating after all this time or if they're just waiting for the proper moment to drop the news. And I think this could be a little bit more, I think this could be more serious than what people think, but I don't know. At the end of the day, it'll just be very interesting to see how the NCAA deals with this and who exactly is getting in trouble, and who they choose to not to not hit with sanctions.
Well, and a little bit more on his contract, and I'm reading this straight out of Jesse Newell has a great kind of breakdown of all of like the contract language and some of the different, you know, I guess clauses, you could call them that. I should go to law school. But anyway, so Self's contract states that, like I said, he cannot be fired for cause because of this infractions matter, and that, you know, if he is suspended as a result of the case, he will forfeit half of his $2.975 million annual salary during the length of the suspension, though it will not affect the $2.435 million retention bonus he's set to receive on April 1 of each year. So he's still fine. Unless I don't know what Bill Self's spending is like. I would assume he's fine.
I would say he's probably,
but that's kind of how they're dealing with a potential suspension if that happens.
I don't see Bill Self buying the Bentley and hitting Rodeo Drive or something, you know, too often. I think he probably lives pretty moderately, pretty conservatively. But you never know. Who knows? Maybe Bill's got a nasty gambling habit. No, I wouldn't say that. But yeah, no. So I think they've set him up definitely for a nice run. I think he'll be set for life. Yeah, it's a good old Bill Self there.
And
if anybody
can't
tell,
Kansas
there
basketball.
Is just,
I'm with you though. I'm just,
if anybody can't tell, there is just, I'm like holding back my, of course, just like, of course, as the Mizzou fan in me is like, just looking at the situation, like, of course this would seem to go this way, wouldn't it? Huh? You end up potentially violating NCAA rules and you get rewarded for it. So it's just kind of weird.
Blake, our reward is clear record Konzo. We've got the most honest coach in all of the land. So
yeah,
do with that.
I mean, we've had our issues in the past. I guess technically Frank Haith didn't do anything at Mizzou. He did it prior to being at Mizzou at Miami. So it's like, okay, it's not really a smudge on anybody's record. And we got clear record Konzo, who's losing players left and right. So it's going to be an interesting basketball season.
We'll just like, I'm just going to save that for next weekend.
Yeah.
Tune in if you want to talk about that next weekend, because we're just, the last thing I want to get your thoughts on before we take a break.
Some positivity.
NFL
here.
Ads, 17th game. Positivity. Well, I guess this could be either a positive or a negative. There's two sides of the coin here, but NFL ads, a 17th game. On one hand, more football for fans, but like my biggest thing in this is like, why risk potential injury so close to the playoffs? Like, that's where, I mean, it just becomes another, like, the Chiefs, for example, at weeks, you know, 17 of last year, were already in a position where they didn't need to play any of their starters. They lose to the Chargers, they played all of their backups, and wasn't a fun game to watch. If you are, you know, it was like you were glad that the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan, did that, because it's like, okay, obviously, why would you risk injury to any of your starters going into the playoffs? And two, it's like, does that just turn into another non-competitive game if your team, I mean, I guess it could turn into some good competition if teams are really fighting for spots, but they're like, they're playing the Packers. It's out of conference.
Yeah. Is it official? Is that going to be the 17th game of the season? Is that officially going to be against the Packers?
The Chiefs will play the Packers at Arrowhead. Yeah.
See, that's not even, neither of those quarterbacks will be playing in that game. So, like, they made a big deal when they announced it. Hey, we're playing the Packers. Okay, so Chad Henne is going to be playing the Packers. That's, I mean, good for Chad Henne, but it's not going to be this quarterback duel of air. But they're going to market it the whole season like it's Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. It's like, no, it's not. We know it's not going to be that. So I think this is the 17th game for the fans, obviously awesome. More football for us. Woohoo! That's awesome. For the players, I know for a fact they're not happy about this. And I'm not sure how they're going to divvy out the pay. Yeah. I mean, does adding an extra game just make your weekly checks lesser? Do you get an extra, do you just get a fixed amount for that final game? Like, what does this say for how we're going to pay the players? I mean, you saw what Alvin Kamara said. He came out and he was like, I'm not about this. This ain't cool. We're dragging ourselves across the finish line at the very end of the season. Why add an extra game on that when people, when they're getting in the playoffs, are hardly holding themselves together?
This was something that was voted on, so this wasn't something that, like, no one got to have a say
True.
In, but
I mean,
the Bears voted,
against
it, but other teams...
Yeah, it was voted in by the players, the NFLPA, and, you know, I don't know if in that round of voting, if enough players really figured out how they were, you know, if they really thought about the logistics of it.
Yeah, I guess on one hand, they do cut back to just three preseason games. But, I mean, you could even argue that the preseason, at least when you get to a certain point in the preseason, it's like, what, by game 3 and 4 anyway, it's like you're not going to...
I mean, most players want to cut the preseason anyway. Because, and me and Briscoe talked about this the other day, basically, you know, you have inter-team scrimmages between yourself. You have team scrimmages between, like, you know, the Chiefs will go off and scrimmage against the Washington football team, or who, you know, somebody, they'll bring somebody in to scrimmage against. That's really where you're going to see these. They talk about the preseason games being for the fringe guys, being for the guys that might make the roster, might not. You can do all that in camp. You don't need 3 and 4 games of preseason, maybe one. And then what you do is you really don't even start any of your starters. You just go ahead and throw your guys in from the jump and see what they can do. Cause I mean, you don't need Patrick Mahomes out there. You don't need L'Jarius Sneed out there again to see if he's going to be quality this year. So, I know that the players are really just not big fans of the preseason. If anything, they'd probably rather scrap most of it altogether. You get enough done on the practice field and training camp, and that's where you make your bones.
Yeah. No. Hey, if that game is as competitive between the Chiefs and the Packers, it's a marquee matchup. I mean, who knows what the Aaron Rodgers situation is going to end up being down the line here, but yeah, it's just kind of one of those, like, first season. We'll wait and see how.
But
it goes.
As a fan, I'm super excited.
Another text from Jed Marshall. But as a fan, yeah, hey, more football.
Yeah.
Can't complain about that. Jed Marshall, hey, we cheat and win. Talking about KU versus Mizzou, of course. Make a Final Four and then cry. Jed, come
Dude,
on.
Dude, Jed, why did you wake up salty today, Jed? You didn't like us talking about your candy? Now you're all butthurt about Bill Self?
He's
got to
go even it out with some sweets. He's got to go even it out with some sweets. We
I just
love you,
imagine.
Jed.
I just
okay,
imagine.
We're gonna take.
Jed woke up with a bowl of, like, Cocoa Pebbles and just threw on Blake and Allie. So he was like, "Oh god, I'm gonna text them all." What's going on, Jed? We appreciate you listening. We know you always do.
Hey, I know we do. Well, and with that said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jada Williams joins me to talk about her commitment to UCLA. She's an absolute stud, tearing it up. She has been for the last few years now at Blue Springs and all over the place. Looking forward to watching her career unfold. So we'll talk with Jada Williams next on Sports Saturday. To Sports Saturday. I'm Allie Trost, and joining the show now is, well, one, an honorary ESPY winner from over the summer back when 810 did our honorary ESPYs, Ms. Jada Williams, a point guard at Blue Springs High School. Pretty exciting news this week. Jada announced your commitment, and you've drawn interest from teams for a few years now, a number 13 prospect in the country, finally making your commitment to UCLA class of 2023. How does it feel?
It feels amazing. I'm super blessed to have this opportunity to be able to commit so early. And right now I'm just thanking God and soaking it all up.
So right now you are the first committed player in the 2023 class. Are there any players out there that you hope to see become potential teammates, anyone that you might have played with so far, anyone you got your eye on that would join you out in California?
Oh, trust me, I'm starting my recruiting now. They're going to be getting recruited like the coaches are recruiting them. I'm going to keep it a secret just because I don't want to ruin their recruiting process. But trust me, we're going to be top notch when I get to UCLA.
So you had, I mean, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Baylor, Notre Dame, Texas. I'm sure other teams as well interested in bringing you on board as part of their future. What was it about UCLA that was the right fit for Jada Williams?
Well, first of all, I just really appreciate those schools. Those were like my top spots. I didn't really cut a list, but those were like my top schools that I was really looking into. But I mean, they put as much effort in it as I did put in effort into them. And I mean, I can only pick one school, and so it was kind of tough. But when I knew, I knew. And just UCLA's culture and just where it's at, really, faith is huge for me. I'm big in my faith. My walk with the Lord is really important to me, and I think. Like before my papa passed away a couple years ago, I promised him that I would go to a school that would not only be a good fit for me on the court, but off the court as well, meaning what I want to do in the future, helping me become a better woman, just supporting me in everything I do, but also helping me walk with the Lord, not just encouraging that, but also being a part of it. And I think that's a big thing at UCLA. They know what they stand for. And I think that's really important to me. And I know what I want to stand for. And it's kind of the same thing. So I think that's really important to me. That's one of the major reasons. And then their basketball program is amazing. Their coaching staff is top notch, A1, the best out there. I love them. I'm super excited. And our whole process has just been amazing. Like, they supported me no matter what. Their first game they came to was in middle school, and they were right there first row, you know? And so that kind of stood out a lot. But like I said, like, their culture, I'm super excited. I can't wait to get there. I got a couple years left, but right now I'm just trying to work on becoming the player, keeping our bond and recruiting my new teammates.
Well, and that culture that you're talking about, Coach Corey Close and all that she's built at UCLA with the Bruins, you know, what were some of those conversations like during your recruiting process when it came to reassuring that not just the basketball part was taken care of, but the off the court stuff that's important to you and growing you individually off the court as well?
Coach Corey definitely knew that from day one. She knew what type of person I am and what type my family is and what we believe in, what we stand for. And she agreed 100%. Like, I never really had a coach that was recruiting me, pray for me and pray with me. And that really stood out for me. A lot of people don't really know what we talk about on the phone because sometimes it's kind of drawn out and boring. But every time I talked to you today, it was always fun. They were always asking me new questions. And a lot of times it wasn't even about basketball. They know who I am on the court. They see me play. So it was a lot to just get to know my family, get to know what I'm about. And it was comfortable. Like, we always talked about maybe some deep stuff. Maybe it was what's your favorite color, you know? And so I just think those important conversations were really what touched deep and touched with my family. Like, my mom, I'm not going to lie, she was UCLA from day one. She never really showed it because a lot of people and a lot of parents want to be a part of their kids' process. And my mom's just 100%. I'm supporting wherever you want to go, no matter where it's at. It might be far, it might be close. And I know she's going to make a way to come to my games and support me. And I'm super blessed to have her in my corner because a lot of parents maybe not don't support that. Maybe they want you to go closer so they can see more games. But I'm truly blessed to have my mom in my corner. She really pushed me to just be who I want to be and go to the school that best fits me, not the situation. And so I'm super excited to get out to LA, you know, fours up, That's just, and especially being in LA, just my social media and that type of stuff. I want to do sports broadcasting and in that field. Yeah, in that field. And so I love being in front of the camera. I love being behind the camera. I take pictures as well. And so just being in that atmosphere, the campus is amazing. It's gorgeous by the beach. You know, I drive a Jeep Wrangler, so my top's going to be off all the time. But like I said, I'm just super excited. I'm just soaking it all up. Like, I haven't stopped smiling. Like, at track, I've been wearing UCLA stuff, like, since I committed. Like, every day I'm wearing something new UCLA. But I'm super excited, and there's a lot of people that are supporting me right now, and it feels great, actually.
Well, it sounds like it's a perfect fit all the way around. And I was going to ask you about, you know, I didn't know about the sports broadcasting aspirations, but you go, girl. If you ever have any questions, I'm here to help you. But the Flicks by Jada, you are behind the camera as well in California.
Yes.
It doesn't get much prettier than that. So what are you looking forward to most about being out on the West Coast?
West Coast is the best coast, baby. I'm just excited just to be the atmosphere. I mean, there's NBA, WNBA. A lot of people live there. Like, it's just, it's a great, I love the beach, you know, me, like, I'm gonna be on the beach taking it. It's a great place to take pictures. There's a lot of stuff in the scenery, but I don't really know. I'm just excited. Like, UCLA is just, I love the culture. I love what it stands for. UCLA is the number one public school, and they're going Jordan next year. So, you know, we're gonna be decked out in the kicks. But yeah, like, Flicks by Jada kind of started, like, I always, like, used to like take pictures, but I never really had a camera. And so I've, like, at camps and stuff, I'd be like, yo, let me take pictures on your camera. And they'd be like, well, you're kind of good. So I had to learn, like, aperture and shutter speed and all that f-stop. But I got my first camera for Christmas, and it's been super fun. I'm trying to get new lenses and stuff, because, you know, the lenses is outrageous. But that's my hobby on the side that I like to do. But yeah, it's something new. I like to have a challenge always. And so something new, I'm, like, starting from the very, very beginning. And so it's kind of like restarting and having a challenge. It's fun. I love it.
Now, you mentioned LA. They've got WNBA, NBA. What's your team? Who do you root for?
Well, actually, my team is not there. My team, I'm going to have to go with the Seattle Storm. That's then my girl. Actually, Jordan Canada played at UCLA, so that tags along with it. And, I mean, I don't really have a favorite team. I usually have players. I just like to watch basketball in general, honestly.
Yeah, so I'm sure you've been all over March Madness too as well. Do you make a bracket every year?
I don't really make a bracket because that's too much work, and then I'd be mad if I lose. So I just like to watch, and I don't be cheering for no team unless it's UCLA. Boys, you know they boys is doing really good right now. But I just like to see good basketball. Like, right now when they start to get good, like that UConn versus Baylor game was crazy. The games right now, there's some on tonight. Like, it's just good basketball. I love March Madness. So just watching good basketball and learning the game and watching some of my favorite players play. Some of my biggest role models that are like big sister to me, Paige. Paige just texted me, said congratulations. Like, that's huge to me, you know? Like, I've been watching her since I was young. Like, my first camp, we played on the same team in Minnesota, and I was like, yo, like, that's Paige Buckets right there. So stuff like that. I mean, I have a lot of role models. I'm super excited. Everyone's congratulating me, AZ Fudd, all things like that. Like, my biggest role models, like my big sisters right now. So, and they've been there for me, and they give me somebody to look up to. So, like I said, I just have a lot of support right now. My phone's been off the chains, so I haven't really been, I've been trying to reply, but it's hard. There's a lot, but I'm super excited.
Deservedly so. It's such an exciting time. And I know, I mean, I've been following your recruitment career now, or journey, seems like a while, because there were so many teams interested for the last few seasons. So to finally have that commitment, I'm sure it's got to be a huge relief as well. But before you get to UCLA, what are you going to be working on? What areas of your game are you looking to improve upon before you get to the NCAA and the college level?
Definitely. I have a lot of goals that are even before I even graduate. And so making the McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand Classic, winning state from my high school, making the USA team. I just recently got invited to U16 trials, and so that's a big goal for me. And so, and then also just becoming the player that they want me to become, and becoming the player and the point guard and the leader that I want to become, and working on being a better person, school, obviously, just stuff like that. I mean, I have short-term goals, long-term goals, but until I get there, we're going to stay in touch with UCLA. You know, them as my dogs. I know a lot of players, like Dominique, she is not even in college yet, and she's playing college basketball. So that was super cool to watch. Just having fun, you know, like, now it's not really stressful anymore. So now I can go play AAU and just have fun and just be with my team, because a lot of my teammates, this is their last summer. And so just being on my team, having fun, enjoying life, really.
We're visiting with Jada Williams of Blue Springs High School, recent commit to UCLA 2023 class. And Jada, for those who don't know you that well, your nickname's Lil Bullet. How did you get that nickname?
Well, it's a kind of a long story, but when I first met my trainer, Marcus, who is now my godfather, his name has always been The Bullet since he was in high school. And so when I first started training with him, like, we clicked right away. That's like been my road dog, he's father figure, brother, uncle, all the above. Like, he's been there for me no matter what. We fight sometimes. Maybe I yell at him, he yells at me, but it's like, it's a big sister. Big brother, little sister type bond, but that's my dog. And I mean, when we first started training together, I was like, yo, I'm Lil Bullet. And he was like, oh, I like that. So we just started like tagging it to everything. And it kind of just made a name for itself. And everyone's like, people at my school tease me all the time, Lil Bullet. Like today at track, everyone's like, Lil Bullet. But I mean, I got to laugh just because like I made it for myself. So it's a fun little nickname. Everyone knows it now. So I guess I'm gonna live with it forever. My grandkids gonna be calling me Granny Lil Bullet.
Jada, my last.
Okay, so my main Instagram is at cbg.jada24. And then my Twitter is MrsMac0606. And what else? Oh, that's it. And then Flix by Jada is flix.by.jada. You can go tune in. I've been kind of slacking because I've been super busy. But stay tuned. I'm going to start getting some more content out there, especially when summer hits. I'm going to be taking basketball pictures, nature pictures, whatever. I'm saying, maybe some pictures of some Doritos. I don't know. But stay tuned. It's a little passion project that I'm working on. But stay tuned. I appreciate you guys for supporting me. And thanks for the love. Go Bruins.
I love it. Well, Jada, congratulations again. And best of luck in all of your endeavors because you're doing a lot of different things. So keep it up and look forward to seeing all of your success currently and in the future as well. And we'll be sure to catch up with you again real soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. There is Jada Williams. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back after this on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.